speaker is Ali from San Diego.
My name is Alianta, and I am an alcoholic. I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thank you, Mackenzie, for asking me to speak. And my prayer really quickly is that I can get out of my way long enough to let God speak through me, that at least one person might hear something helpful. I just got back from Oregon. I was on my honeymoon, and it was amazing. The reason we went to Oregon is because my mom is sick. She has Parkinson's, and she was unable to come to my wedding because that's something that happens with Parkinson's. You lose the ability to travel. And so we took our honeymoon up there, and we visited my mom, and it was super special. That is not, it's not in my nature. Without the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, my best is hiding from you, and my worst is finding a way to make that illness all about me, and finding a way to create anger around that and around how my mom wasn't the mom that I wanted her to be, and pick apart everything that she's done wrong so that it's easier for me. Because I don't like dealing with tough things. I like being comfortable. So the fact that I got to go up there and be present and spend time with my mom was an incredible blessing, and it's a direct result of working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I guess real quick, I only have 10 minutes, but I'll start from the beginning. I was not born to this mother who I just went up to visit. I was born to an incredibly mentally ill woman who spent most of her time in bed, days at a time. It was usually my sister and me. She's 14 months younger than me, and we ate a lot of what we called government cheese and powdered milk and white bread when we had it, and we had fun together. And when my birth mother did wake up, we never knew what was going to happen, but it usually involved a lot of yelling and hitting and biting and sometimes throwing tables or dishes or hammers. And that's just kind of how it was. When I was 11, my mom took us to a courthouse and said she had to go to the bathroom and never came back. And you know, I don't share that to get a reaction from people. I don't share that so that people will feel sorry for me or think I'm super well adjusted. I mean, I'm at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And so how well adjusted am I? But I share that. I share that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I spent a lot of my life thinking thinking that that was why I was an alcoholic. I spent a lot of my life thinking that that's why I drank the way that I drank. Thinking that I was different, that if you did experience trauma, it wasn't nearly as bad as mine. How condescending is that, right? And thinking that if you had had the childhood that I had, you would drink like I drank too. The other reason I share that is because the fact of the matter is I was adopted, and the woman who adopted me and my little sister at an age when very few children are adopted. And I was what they called a traumatized child with behavioral issues, which means I didn't get to just go to her. She had to fight for me. This woman fought for me. And I wasn't able to accept her love or show her love for a lot of years because of something that another person had done to me. And I wasn't able to figure out that I was doing that until I worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous until I got to a point where I had lost everything. And I'm not going to go a ton into war stories. Let's just say at first, I had a really good time with booze. It was super fun. I was the life of the party, and I had a good time with it. And at some point, I crossed the invisible line that the big book talks about, and I could not control my drinking. At the end, I drank at least 20 hours a day. I couldn't sleep more than an hour or two at night. I was drinking enough that I was having multiple seizures a week. I was vomiting blood every single day for a couple of years. I was in and out of psych wards. It was just nasty. Like, it wasn't pretty. And in my head, I was still the life of the party. Even though the reality was, I would go days without getting out of bed. It got to the point where a doctor told me that my liver was failing, my kidneys were failing, my platelets were critically low, and if I didn't stop drinking, I would be dead by the end of the year. And that was in October. And I was okay with that because I didn't know how to stop drinking. I didn't know how to live life without alcohol. And I felt like I had destroyed enough that I just couldn't get back to any semblance of happiness, of usefulness, of success. I'm really grateful Alcoholics Anonymous was brought to me through H&I. If you don't know what that is, ask. It's awesome. And for whatever reason, I found a sponsor. I did not believe that the steps would work for me. I didn't want to work the steps, but I didn't have any better ideas. And quite frankly, I just kind of felt like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, somebody just told me I'm going to die. If the steps don't work, what's the worst that can happen, right? So I had nothing to lose. So I started working the steps with a woman who had worked the steps herself, and I did my best, and sometimes that was really bad, and sometimes it still is really bad, and sometimes it was really good, and sometimes it is really good. I did my best. And sometimes I balked, but when she said to write, I wrote, and when she said to pray, I prayed. And what happened for me is that when I got to the fourth step and the fifth step, and especially the ninth step, I got to see that, as it says in the big book, I brought it up because I don't have this memorized, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? So none of the things that happened to me caused my alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic because I have a different reaction bodily and mentally to alcohol than non-alcoholics. What I did have was a lot of resentments, a lot of self-pity, a lot of terminal uniqueness. I worked the fourth step and the fifth step, and I found out that I wasn't that unique and that there are a lot of people out there who go through the same kinds of things that I went through, and they don't use alcohol, and they don't make the excuse that that if you lived like I did, you would be like I am. And I started making amends to people, and I got to learn even more about myself. And the biggest thing that I learned from amends was to show up when I say I'm going to show up, be present when I'm with people, and that time is the one thing that we can never get back. So when I don't want to, I show up. And I try to spend time with people. And I try to be a better friend. And I try to be a better sister. And I try to be a better daughter. And I try to be a better wife. And what happened for me is that when I started treating people differently, they started treating me differently. And sometimes life is still really hard. Sometimes things go wrong. I don't always get my way. But because of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have relationships that I never knew existed. I do business with a God who has absolutely changed my life, and I have this sense of happiness and serenity and peace, even when things are terrible. I might not feel great, but I know everything's going to be okay, and that's not something that I thought existed, let alone I would get to experience. So I continue to do Alcoholics Anonymous to the best of my ability. And some days that's great and some days it's not. But I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.